On RSN 927's Racing Pulse, welcome to The Verdict.
I think you have to be fair that he is beating up consistently on the best horses in Hong Kong. Therefore, he is probably the best horse in Hong Kong.
I agree that the Hayes camp has a history of youth prevailing. I think they face an enormous challenge.
We don't know if they're going to make a go of it or not, but I guarantee you they've been very well schooled and very well prepared to make a go of it.
If you are just postponing something, doesn't everything say a holding pattern and then you just re-plonk it a week later? The same fields, same everything.
I still have an issue with splitting the good horse pool because we don't have that many good horses.
The autumn is continually washed out. It's the worst weather time of year possible to run your signature race, but they're going to be thinking, well, we have to use more of November and early December.
It is that time of the week, The Verdict. Matty Stewart, Mick Sharkey are here. And gents, as The Verdict starts, a little bit of history in the world of golf because Hideki Matsuyama has officially won the Masters, the first Japanese player to win the Masters. Incredible story there. And there'll be more of that story with the Brekkie boys tomorrow. It's been a remarkable weekend of sport and firsts and stories. We'll talk more about the Grand National with Rachel Blackmore, but what about day one of the championships? There were so many storylines heading into it, gents, and they all delivered.
But a cosy victory in the English sires for Animo. McDonald eased him right down for a three-length win from Halal. Explosive Jack and Youngworth are between them. Here's a go in the Derby. It's Lions Roar and Explosive Jack. Explosive Jack goes to Youngworth. I think Explosive Jack wanted a nose to Young Werther, and Nature Strip draws a length and a half, two lengths clear from Eduardo, a gap back to Mask Crusader, but Nature Strip goes back to back in the TJ, and this is an annihilation. Cascadian wide out, Delasan through the centre, Ice Bath along the rails, it's Ice Bath and Cascadian, Ice Bath, Cascadian, I think Jamie Carr's won it. Cascadian the outside of Ice Bath, and the great finish to the Doncaster.
Four stunning Group 1 victories. Congratulations to both Matty and Sharky. You both tipped Cascadian in the Doncaster. Was it a fill-up weekend, Sharky?
Relatively, Michael. I did give a bit back on Wycliffe, which wanted to run in behind his mates there the last 200, and it was happening there. It sort of levelled the day right off.
He was smashed too.
Yeah, well, I thought he was nearly the best of the weekend. I've been waiting for him to hit 2,000 and third up. But, yeah, I just wanted to run in behind his mates. So, yeah, took the jam out of my donut late in the weekend, but a lovely weekend nonetheless.
Matty, you got the trifecta in the Donny, didn't
Thanks
you?
Thanks to Duff.
Did you?
I wasn't a Delasan man until Duff chimed in on Saturday morning and threw in Delasan as, what did he describe it as, the sneaky good run last start.
Absolutely.
And I had a good day. It should have been, like Shark, it could have been, bar for an inch here and there, it could have been awesome. But what about the move for Cascadian late in betting? Like, to shift one from 12 or 13 bucks to $7.50
That's
in the last 5 or 6 minutes, that is as big as it gets, I reckon, in a Doncaster.
And
so whether it was
Carmen and it was Cascadian. Like,
it was a cascade of money.
It was the car factor.
We spoke about that on Friday, didn't we? The horse is an absolute villain, but it was a great booking. It was a brilliant booking, and thankfully it worked out. It was the story of the weekend, wasn't it?
And she had him, because we were both on it. So, you know, when you look through a 20-horse field and you're just looking at that white blaze and the blue colours, I reckon at the 600, the first thing I thought was, she's about two lengths closer than maybe many would have thought. So I thought, at least she's not going to be the flashing light fourth or fifth. She's going to be there to pounce. And it's amazing when you're red hot like she is that
the
gaps appear.
The sea part.
Seas part. Moses intervenes, you know, and all that sort of stuff. So, but I actually thought the jockey skills story, as much as Jamie Carr was James McDonald on Nature Strip.
Wow. Yeah, that was good.
He's become the youngest jockey in history, or the fastest jockey in history to have notched 50 Group 1 wins, and he made it 51. On Nature Strip. Animo was as easy as you like, and then Nature Strip, and he was pumped after that. Considering what he's been through, he spent 18 months on the sideline with that suspension. That's remarkable that he is the quickest to reach 50.
And when he copped that 18 months, he was on the cusp of just dominating everything. That was when he was blitzing with Hartnell, he was with John O'Shea and Godolphin at the time, and he was just winning everything. So that ripped him out at the time where that 18 months, had he been there, he would have make it 60 instead of 50. So But just to ride on Nature Strip, the drone shot's really helpful, I reckon, to highlight things that you don't normally see. And when Eduardo crossed over, and then just to get in his slipstream, but just to do it so delicately as to not push him out so wide and then let Nature Strip see fresh air and take off. It was just the ability to get in the slipstream but not clutter behind his heels and then stay off the fence. Just unreal what he did on Nature Strip, because he and Jamie Carr have found the secret, obviously, but that was a great drone shot example of things you don't normally see, but they are absolutely genius brilliance, but you need that angle to see it.
I caught up with Chris Waller at the Sales last Sunday, and he was bubbling, oozing confidence. Hmm. And we spoke to Rod Lyons Saturday morning, the senior part owner, and he echoed that, said that the James McDonald basically and Chris Waller wouldn't hear of him being beaten. And I know he had that unbelievable dominant win down the straight, but that was probably his most rounded and complete performance, I think, in the TJ on Saturday. And it shows that they've got the horse humming. It'll be interesting what happens in the spring, though, because I think Chris Waller said that he almost suffers from hay fever in the spring, and he's not as good in the autumn because of his allergies.
Well, he's an asthmatic sort of horse.
He even changed the bedding in his box in order to sort of stop him getting those elements of dust particles. So, but as Rod Lyon said, it sort of got fleshed out a little bit more after that bad carnival, where he said, "Oh, let me tell you what went wrong," and it was a list of 500 things. So, not big enough to be newsworthy, but just those little setbacks that you have with a horse where he just didn't seem right and lost the jockey in the trial and all those things that went wrong. So, Bruce McAvaney's call was interesting, though, wasn't it? Like, he's now...
I was going to say, where do you rate him amongst the sprinters?
Well, he's the best sprinter.
But I'm talking in recent history, because we've had some pretty good sprinters.
Well, I think the important thing is going to be the next 12 months now. Now that he seems to have got his act together to a point where he runs consistently well all the time, like, say if he goes on to win the Doomben 10,000 or whatever that race is now up there, the big one up there, and then comes back and, you know, wins another two or three group ones, loses one in every three instead of one and a half in every three, and I reckon he'll be... remember Lincoln Rupee when he was flying when he won the TJ?
It's not a bad comparison. I think Nature Strip... The journey of Nature Strip from this jump and run, tear along, run these ridiculous times in front, and can he keep going? Is he sitting dark? Sometimes the tempo wasn't right and he'd overcook himself. And you watch him on Saturday able to sit and stalk on a high cruising speed, but not be that rip and tear bunny, to have that ability to settle and then produce that finish. There's a story here with Nature Strip maturing into this well-rounded sprinting machine. And yeah, look, the little quirks, the breathing things, the asthma, the allergies, whatever it is aside, it just adds to that picture. When he's at his best, as James McDonald said after the race, he is the world's best sprinter when he is at his best, but it's not there every start.
But I think that's part of his intrigue. I reckon he's more of a turnstile clicker because of his unpredictability.
Because,
like, people want to go and see the freak.
Well,
they want to go and see
what happens. Absolutely. Yeah. I 100% agree with that. When you go to watch Nature Strip, and we were out and about Country Victoria on Saturday, but stop what we were doing and watch the race, because you want to see if this horse can do it. You want to see if Nature Strip turns up at his best or not.
I agree. I think he's more...
freak element.
He's a bigger story and a bigger attraction because he's not perfect.
He's won 16 of 30, I think. Is he on the same level as Chautauqua yet?
Yep. Oh, no.
Chautauqua won 3 TJs.
No, he needs...
Nature Strip's won 2, and Chautauqua did win in Hong Kong.
Well, get back run-on horses have that lure. You know, are they going to get there in time? Oh, where's this big finish? You know, they've got that immediate lure that sucks you in. And Chautauqua had that in spades, as we know.
But Chautauqua had the same wild card, freaky attraction element as well. So on that level, Michael, reckon he's the same as Chautauqua for people wanting to go and see him.
I would love to see Nature Strip go to Ascot. I would love to see that. I think
he's not going to go to Ascot when there's an Everest.
Well,
Chris Waller's already said we're going to aim him at... He might go to Queensland.
Look, that's good for us to enjoy, but I would love to see him on an international race somewhere, whether it's Hong Kong, whether it's Ascot. I would love to see
for owners to give up the cash of an Everest. You've got to be
it's
able to go. You've got to be able to go and experience it. Owners can't get to Royal Ascot.
Yeah, but the other thing is COVID. Who wants to go to Royal Ascot when you can't go? So
it's your horse, though.
Yeah, but it's top hat and tails. You don't. Yeah. Anyway, look, I just think he's... I reckon the best way to judge a star sprinter is how close at their best would they have got to Black Caviar. I know it's an impossible thing to really do, but the Hariba thing, and I reckon at his absolute scintillating best, Nature Strip would have got within a length and a half of Black Caviar, and I don't know...
Hay-list sort of margins.
Yeah.
Hay-list.
I don't think you could mention... Chautauqua never got within cooey of Black Caviar because of his racing style. But would that be about right? A length and a half at his absolute best and her best?
So is he better than Hay-list?
I think they're similar.
But he was about the same. At his best, he got within a length and a half of Black Caviar.
They're a similar beast.
Let us know. SMS 0416 90 50 52, or you can even give us a call if you want to have a crack at Matt or at Sharky. 1-300-652-927.
Yeah. And maybe even Falcate.
Best.
Have a crack at me, safe for Friday, please.
The best caller or text of the morning will win a couple of bottles of Mitchelton champagne. Who was the best winner of the day via SMS at the championships? It was Nature Strip with a leg in the air. He thrashed arguably a field consisting of at least three horses that would hold their heads high on any international stage. That's from Bob.
Mask Crusader was, again, the drone shot.
Gee, I like Mask Crusader. He's a
flasher, though, but he was great, but he's a flasher.
I think he'll win the all-age. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I don't mean what you were thinking, Shark. I mean, he flashes home. You know?
It was a really good trial for an all-age, wasn't it?
Animo.
Yeah.
How good?
He's best two-year-old in Australia.
Is Animo. Does he deserve that title?
100%.
Well, if he wins the...
100%.
If he
100%
wins the...
he does right now. He doesn't need to win anything else.
Really?
Yeah.
Stay Inside did beat him.
When did you see... was Stay Inside Slipper a better performance than that, given the barriers?
It's pretty good.
They always give it to the Slipper winner. That's why he needs to win the champagne.
The Slipper was a much deeper race than what the size was.
Listen, I that was arrogance personified on Saturday. And I just wonder, had the horse drawn a better gait in the Slipper?
Yeah, he was stiff in the Slipper.
Yeah. Yeah,
but as far as the gong goes,
Stay Inside, who had all the favours in the run, is
major
a better horse than
2-year-old races.
He has, yeah, he has.
But you know what I'm saying, Shark? Like, who will be the champion? Who will be awarded the champion 2-year-old? Animo has to win the champagne for it to go his way, because the Golden Slipper winner always gets it. Doesn't matter what happens, Golden Slipper winner always is the champion 2-year-old.
And the argument could be, well,
but Animo's a better 2-year-old.
Stay Inside beat him in the Slipper. Would Stay Inside have beat him on Saturday?
I don't think he would have. I don't. There's not a horse. There's not a 2-year-old in the country that would have on Saturday.
Richard Friedman said he rated Stay Inside's Golden Slipper win when we spoke to him at the sales better than any of the four that he was involved with. Mm. Lee Friedman.
Yeah.
Fresh memory syndrome.
Potentially.
And it was in his name. The others weren't.
Animo has literally come from second last in the Slipper from an horrendous gait. He's been beaten less than two lengths. Where Stay Inside's had all the favours sitting up box seat, and I'm not taking anything away from Stay Inside. I'm just saying Animo is a phenomenal colt. Like, he's in this little group of 2-year-olds we've got now.
We've got a really good bunch of 2-year-olds, don't we?
I hope so. We thought
Wayne Hawks reckons they're all hacks.
Wayne does.
Yeah, Wayne reckons they're all hacks.
Well, last year we all thought that group of 2-year-olds were superstars. And
I'm not saying I agree with Wayne.
Hasn't worked out the way we all expected.
But
so time will tell.
What, we need them to...
He looks a 3-year-old,
he does. We need them to come through, because that's where we're looking.
Would you back anything in the guineas against him right now?
Caulfield guineas?
Yeah.
Well, he looks a miler, doesn't he? I'm not sure. I mean, I think Stainside's going to be more on a Everest program than a Caulfield guineas program.
A bit of water to go under the bridge between now and then.
Yeah,
but all I'm saying is...
Hey, funny,
don't forget Artorias.
The gong,
this thing's got Artorias covered. Don't worry about that.
Who votes? It's a bit of media, the voting for the Champion Horse Awards. So what I'm saying is, I don't know a year where the Golden Slipper winner didn't win it. If they did, it's been 1 in 20 where it went the other way. So I think in order to actually get over the line to be voted the champion 2-year-old, I reckon Animo has to win the champagne, which he's $1.25 to do anyway.
I might be on my own out there, but I'm a fan of the Mo.
Everyone's a fan of the Mo.
That was a brilliant win. I just loved how he travelled up into that race, and then when he was asked to go, the race was over, and you look back at the others in the field, they were absolutely being shoved. Like, they're ridden right out, shoved along to stay anywhere near this
But
horse.
To be fair, were they... What were they? I mean, the only other one was the one of John Sargent's that ran okay in the Golden Slipper.
They might have been second tier.
What was the opposition?
They might have been second tier, but he made them look third rate.
Like, he was a little bit cooked, didn't he? I tell you who I did like the run of was Queen of Wizardry. If Animo wasn't going to go to the Champagne, Queen of Wizardry would be the one that I'd be on in that race. The Derby, Johnny Allen does it again, one Wait, ride, man. Beautiful, beautiful ride. But to come from a Tassie Derby to win an Australian Derby, go to Sydney, have a campaign as well, he's one tough bugger.
Well, he is, and I think there's been a little storyline missed here with Explosive Jack's win. Johnny Allen... That's the
he wins a lot of derbies. He wins a lot of derbies.
Australian Derby, Victoria Derby, South Australia. The only ones he needs to tick off now, he's won Tassie as well, WA and Darwin.
I reckon he's won multiple South Australian derbies.
Darwin's not in the top echelon.
No, but Jay Allen in
he
Darwin
would go
would
and
massive.
Win a Darwin derby, wouldn't he?
And he'd hang around for a week and go
Absolutely.
Barra fishing.
But that is ridiculous. Like one jockey in the space of what, four? I reckon it's been four years probably, he has just ticked them off. Tick them off. And Explosive Jack, look, I didn't look at that horse and think he was a genuine winning chance in that race. And it gives him a beautiful ride. The horse is staying talents kicky in that last little bit. I think a few of the fancied ones may have run their race in previous weeks. There are a couple there that probably didn't finish off as expected.
What do you make of Montefilia's run? Would you want to be on her backing up into an Oaks?
For mine, she loomed up and just was one paced. Yeah, and Skylab was cooked. He'd had enough. Like he travelled up for J-Mac, and then just that was it. He was gone. He was tired horse. Prompt Prodigy, Yale Town out of the Tullock. You know, we talked about that Friday. How much of a form reference that's been. Jockey's comments after the race was just about everything in the Tullock was they're just tired. You know, so it was an interesting derby, and the two with the Victorian form lines. I guess Young Werther, the true stayer, the TT. As Danny O'Brien has often said, with the genetic testing, that just tough stayer. He was the only one to back up and run well.
I think the only real story was the mastery of Dave Eustace and Kieran Maher to get this horse to go everywhere and put him on the road. Because this was not a good derby. Let's not be blackbooking these horses. This, you know, like Young Werther. We know what Young Werther is, don't we? You know? So Explosive Jack.
He's only got beaten a bob of the head. He ran third in the Victoria Derby.
Yeah, but the Victorian Derby was also a weak derby.
Was that the races?
Is that
not true?
You would think so, but now that's been the first real bit of form to come out of the Victoria Derby.
Yeah, and it just reinforces.
They're racing each other. Like anyway, there may not the be a stellar three-year-old. Yeah, I don't think it's over for Explosive Jack speaking to Kieran Maher. He could go to South Australia, or they're keen to go to South Australia, and then maybe even Queensland.
Lakiro versus Explosive Jack, that'll be a nice South Australian derby.
Well, would Cindy have been thinking what might have been on Saturday?
No, I don't think she was. I don't think she was. I think she's ready to think about South Australia.
I think that the other good storyline, and with Liquiro winning, you know, a little bit later on from the Derby.
Liquiro, isn't it now?
Liquiro, is it?
Yeah. Is it Matt Liquiro? Hill spoke to the
it's
owners.
Changed, yeah.
Okay, Liquiro.
Yeah.
Liquiro and Young Werther and these sort of horses going and running around on Explosive Jack. We've talked about it for a number of years, the Victorian programming that gives these young stayers a pathway, and we keep hearing about it, and we're the state for stayers and all this sort of thing. Are we starting to see some of the fruit born from that plan and that strategy and those race programs? You know, horses coming out of some ledger trials and going and winning Australia derbies. Like it's there for all to see now. I think we probably need to see it happen more than one occasion, but it's positive.
Yeah,
you know that Galilee series. Yep. It gives those younger stayers something to target, something to plan for. Not every young stayer is there and ready in the spring for the Victoria Derby. So there is a pathway that you can graduate and get some wins on the board, get some confidence, and develop. And it's just a little bit later, and it can lead into South Australia, it can lead into Queensland, can lead into Australia Derby.
And it doesn't. It means that the locally produced horses can earn a lot of prize money with that before they have to confront the internationals in the really big races. So I reckon you're probably right, Shark. I think it's a good validation of this idea that we don't need to keep buying and breeding sprinters, that there's these pathways and these races exist. So that's why the Melbourne sale, you know, it was interesting this year that Simon Vivian was telling us that never before have so many owners being so prepared, or trainers so prepared to buy horses that aren't necessarily bred to run fast.
That's right. So. And New Zealand bred again, Explosive Jack. And a horse bought by, like, how weird's that for a story? Peter Moody buys a horse and it ends up with Kieran Maher a couple of months later. And I was fortunate enough to be at the races earlier in the year and had lunch with Mick and Elise Johnson, and they're telling me the story. You know, Moods rang them up one day and said, "Oh, I've got this stayer here in New Zealand. I think it's a nice type. Would you look at it? He was effectively being a bloodstock agent and put the horse in front of them. They got some mates in, the porters and co, a few of the usual suspects, and they've taken the punt on a young horse that's probably, you know, going to take time. They've been rewarded.
I bet that filled Moody's heart on Saturday when he was up there trying to win his first Group 1 back. Hey, how do you rate Western Empire then, who won the WA Derby on Saturday against those three-year-olds? Willie Pike, again, for Bob Peters. He made it four wins in a row. And that WA Derby's been a pretty strong form line in recent years. Tuscan Queen we haven't seen since she won it last year, unfortunately. Before that, Regal Power. There's been Action, Gadding, Acadia Dream, Delicacy. So it'll be interesting to see if we get to see that horse come over here in the spring.
Well, it's another derby that sort of sits a little off Broadway at this time of year, and it kind of gets lost in the mix with Sydney and Queensland and everything else, but it has produced horses, and again, most of them have been owned by Bob Peters, that have come east and run well. So
could that horse go to the South Australia? Because I reckon West Australian Derby winners have run in the South. Maybe Delicacy?
Delicacy did.
Yeah. So maybe that's when we find out, because I find it hard to judge, but if it does land against Lakiro and Explosive Jack in the South Australian Derby.
5 from 10 now, Western Empire. He's not a horse that, you know, I think they just build that record. They do the groundwork, Grant and Alana Williams, get these horses fit that are bred to stay, and another Peter's bred group, you know, group winning stayer. They give them that groundwork, then it clicks, and it's clicked with this horse in this preparation. You know, he's... From that listed win over a mile, the progression through towards the Derby, he's just kept ticking the boxes, just keeps winning, and it dominant without winning by massive margins.
SMSs are coming through. Hello, Michael. It's obvious Animo is the best two-year-old. Godolphin recently gave up the son of Street Boss to stand at stud because they know how good this colt is. That's from Alan. Good morning, team. To get anywhere near Black Caviar at her best, Nature Strip would need to battle it out with Buffering, Haylist. That thing in England, which finished second and went on to win
that
multiple
thing in
Group
England.
Ones.
Moonlight Cloud.
Nowhere near the level. That's Greg from Mitchin.
Oh, that's a bit harsh, Greg.
Earthquake, Capitalist, Microphone. Three of the last 6 2-year-old of the seasons didn't win a slipper.
Okay. All right. Well, historically it was... Yeah, okay. Well, that's interesting. So, yeah,
thank you for that. Sydney jockeys are supposed to be superior. J. Allen, J. Carr did okay. Now, the performance may not have been the best of the four Group 1 wins, but there's no doubt that J.K. was the story of the day on Saturday. This is a snippet of what Jamie had to say after she won the Doncaster.
Yeah, I'm not one to celebrate, but I got a bit excited and gave a bit of a fist pump. And look, the crowd's amazing when you ride Group 1 winners. I've unfortunately ridden a few in COVID and you haven't had the people around you, and it gets quite overwhelming. It's quite emotional, and it's just an amazing thrill. It's just amazing, like Michelle touched on before as well. She's ridden 5 and now I've ridden 5, and you just sort of become a little bit of history, and I think that's the most exciting part of this. And to ride, I think it's the first Group 1 winner for Godolphin, and first female Group 1 winner. It was pretty special. That's something that is quite a shock to me. I get lots of just people in the public telling me that, oh, my daughter looks up to you, she wants to be Jamie Carr when she's older, and that's just so surreal to me. I think that's the most exciting part of all of this, and obviously the success is great. I'm loving it at the moment and I'm on a good roll, but to be able to, you know, give a little girl an inspiration for the future, that's just unbelievable.
It was an unbelievable storyline, and with the build-up as well to the weekend. SMS, one car describes J Carr positive. Similar to Mr Quickie in the Turek, she put Cascading in a winning position from the jump rather than defaulting to the pattern of him being a get-back run-on horse. That's from John there as well. It was a superior ride, and as she mentioned in that interview, it's a pretty cool accolade to be the first female in the world to ride a Group 1 for Godolphin.
Exactly, and even her recognition that it's surreal, as she said, to realise that little girls want to emulate Jamie Carr. And my take on Jamie Carr is that she's always been a reluctant superstar. She's very humble, low-key, just wants to go about her business, wants to do her own things, stay with her horses. And the idea in her mind that she's some sort of a public hero, icon, superstar has always been something that she just couldn't believe and almost didn't know how to to understand that, you know, and nor should she. It's not her role to be Superwoman, you know. So it is interesting with Jamie Carr that she mentioned that thing about little girls wanting to be Jamie Carr and how she would react to that idea, because it's not natural to her to think of herself that way. So
I wonder whether she was across the build-up and the exterior to the weekend, or does she put herself into a bubble? Because the talk and the build-up, the chatter was about trying to get Jamie Carr to do more media. You know, Richard Callender from the Trainers Association emailing trainers to say, hey, can you try and talk to her about doing some media? Which I'm still scratching my head as to why Richard Callender and the Trainers Association think it's their place to send an email to try and tell trainers to get Jay Carr to do
interviews. I had a chat with Richie about that. He and I had a phone conversation the other day, and it was a good chat. It was a good chat about, hey, look, let's just talk about this issue. And Sydney's different. I don't know what it is, but things that we would think are way inappropriate and almost poking where it's not really. It's all showmanship up there, and it's all about the punter, and the punter fuels the machine, and they therefore the every participant should be acknowledging that and do as much as they can. And I just don't think that's reality. I don't think that factors in individuals like Jamie Carr and what her threshold is, you know, what her personal threshold for being able to ride like Pike and also be this public hero that some people expect her to be as well. So I don't agree with their stance on it at all, and I thought it was most inappropriate that email was sent. But they see it differently. Sydney has a different view on showmanship and promotion than maybe we do.
But isn't part of great sports people and those public figures, isn't part of the joy of watching that development and that journey, seeing them as individuals? And you know, she can be a real inspiration to young girls and young women all over the place, as we heard her say, but she can do it the
by
way
riding.
Jamie Carr wants to do it.
Yeah.
Does she have to do it the way that,
well, post-race
everyone
interviews
else says
aren't
from the outside, you must do this, you must stand on the Sydney Harbour Bridge, you must do this. Does she have to do that, or can she just be a role model by being a good jockey and being humble post-race and by talking about, you know, racing or the sport or the animal in ways that she wants to talk about them? I think that's probably where James Henderson and the management come in. It's probably to mould and shape that. Okay, you're in a position that you're in. This is potentially going to get bigger. What do you want to bring to the table?
Much can you take?
Yeah, well, how much can you take, but how do you want to give it as well?
And look at
that's a valid point to be at.
Someone like a Dustin Martin's a good example too. Like, it's not a one-size-fits-all. Look, if every single sports person was shy and retiring and didn't want to do it, like Jamie Carr and Dustin Martin, then we would have a problem.
Box.
Then you'd have a problem. But most of them don't. So overwhelmingly, it's a good working relationship. Everyone's happy. And the individuals who, for whatever reason, struggle, or many of them don't feel comfortable in their own ability to articulate things as well. They really do. So I think that the individuals who fall through the cracks like that, what's the problem? It doesn't matter.
So that's her fifth Group 1 victory. She now is equal to Michelle Payne. And Michelle Payne is a good friend, and I know they talk quite a bit, because Michelle's been through probably to a wider and more, I suppose, focused degree than what Jamie Carr is when she won the Melbourne Cup, and how to handle the media. And, I mean, we'd love to talk to Jamie Carr, and hopefully we will have a chat later in this week. But she's done plenty of media as well. It's not like she doesn't do media. Before she really shot to superstardom, she came on the Spring Ticket with us last year, when she was suspended. She was happy to come on and do that. So I think a bit of it's juggling the workload. She runs her own property with her partner, Clayton, as well, and they're feeding up, they're doing everything like that. So, look, you wrote an article which I think was misconstrued, you know, a few lines in that article, because certainly the sentiment and the Twitter replies to you, which you're used to, were pretty vitriolic. And I think a lot of them were a bit misplaced, because I think you were probably coming from the same angle as what a lot of the readers were, who kind of misread what the gist of your article was. But I tell you what I did take out of that is that she is racing's Bambi, and the public is very protective, which they have every right to be. And anything that is considered negative or is negative of Jamie Carr, the public out there is so protective.
I don't think I've ever been as surprised by a misread in my life. Like, all I was trying to do with that story was say there is a perception from some that this is what these people have to be. This is what their perception is, that they have to be public property, this is what they want and all that sort of stuff. And maybe I wrote it badly. I don't know. Maybe I didn't get the message across clearly, but I was staggered by the interpretation, even to the point where Richie tweeted that I was bagging JV Carr. So how ironic was the twist in that story. But, to be honest, all I was trying to say was this is the situation. She's in high demand. People want her for this reason because she's the world's biggest star and Jamie's a bit different and she just wants to live her own life. And that was all
is
I was trying to say.
Is there a chance that Jamie could walk away because she's not necessarily a career jockey? Oh. She loves the animals. She loves the horse. I mean, is there a chance her parents were both Olympians? Could Jamie Carr have a wish or a want to one day become an Olympian like her parents?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Mm.
And I wouldn't be surprised because I think her view of horse racing is that it's not the be-all and end-all as well. Mm. I don't think she thinks it's her world is defined by horses. She might feel a bit more differently now because she's just so bloody huge, you know. But and maybe even that comment about the little girls following her, maybe she probably thinks more than ever before, she might think, well, maybe, I've got to cop this now. I'm a role model and I'm this and that. But I wouldn't be surprised knowing a little, you know, I think I can gauge her to some degree where I think it wouldn't surprise me at all if suddenly it was all over.
Well, she almost took some time out a few years ago because of the pressure. I think a huge focus and a huge relief will be when she wins the premiership. She's riding at Caulfield on Saturday, which is, why wouldn't you? There's a million-dollar race, the showdown, and the big Vobis day. She's not going back.
That'll disappoint a few up there. The assumption was that she would go on.
I wonder whether she could go back the following week. I know Annabelle Neesham's keen to get her to ride Queen of Wizardry in the Champagne, so it'll be interesting. And if Mr. Quickie goes up there for the All Age, There could be another horse that takes her to Sydney as well. Keep the SMSs coming, 0416 90 50 52. We'll take a break. On the other side of this, we're going to talk about the other superstar female who rewrote the record books over in the UK in the Grand National.
Opinions. Everyone's got one. On RSN 927's The Verdict.
But it's Rachel Blackmore and Manella Times who are out four lengths clear of Balco de Flo. And any second now, Burroughs Saint back in fourth is running on empty. 150 yards to go in the National. Manella Times for J.P. McManus, Henry de Bromhead, and more significantly, Rachel Blackmore. History in the National. Manella Times wins from Balco de Flo. Any second now is third, Burroughs Saint.
Yeah, what an incredible moment it was. Rachel Blackmore becoming the first female to win Britain's most famous race, the Grand National. Here's a snippet of what she had to say after winning.
Yeah, look, this is the Aintree Grand National and I just can't believe we won. It's unbelievable. Oh, 1 second.
Talk me through the race. Reimagine it for us.
Yeah, look, I just got a fantastic passage the whole way through the race. Manella Times is unbelievable. Like, he jumped fantastically. I don't think he missed a beat anywhere. I was able to, you know, he was able to travel into a gap. I felt like I had loads of space everywhere. You know, it was just, you couldn't wish for a better passage around in a race. He travelled well. Yeah, he was just unbelievable. You know, he really was. His jumping was just second to none out there. And, you know, for me, like, you know, I just think, you know, I'm so lucky to be riding these horses for Henry de Bromhead. You know, he trained a 1-2 there. That's an incredible as well. And, you know, that can't be forgotten either in the whole thing. And I'm so privileged to have these colours on as well. You know, to ride for J.P. McManus is always a privilege, but to be able to win a race like this for him is phenomenal. It's been a tough year for their family. You know, it's been a tough year for their family, so I hope this can make things a little easier on them all.
I'm sure he'll cherish this success. And this is a historic milestone. It's a success that's going to resonate around the world, in the world of sport, the world full stop, I think. I know you don't enjoy your gender being pointed to, but it is a milestone. You're the first female rider to win the Grand National. What do you think the significance of that is?
I personally just... It's a massive deal for me personally. And, you know, I... Yeah, I, it's not something that hit me when I crossed the line. Like, you're 100% correct. It is a big deal. I don't know how to put that big deal into words myself, but I am just delighted to have won the Intergrand National.
Yeah, it's quite phenomenal. I love a quote that she said after the race. She said, because a lot of people obviously make a big deal out of the fact that she is the most successful female jumps jockey in history over there. She won leading jockey at the Cheltenham Festival as well. She said, I don't feel male or female right now. I don't even feel human. This is just unbelievable.
Well, oh, where do you start? Because it's Velvet Brown. This is National Velvet happening.
It is.
This is National Velvet actually happening. And this race has been around since 1837. You know, this is, and so there's been...
It's their Melbourne Cup.
But it's more than that, because the jumps, it's about strength and endurance even more than the Melbourne Cup. If ever something was a male-orientated riding thing, it was winning Grand Nationals with just the endurance and strength required. But she's Rachel Blackmore's been able to do this, to do it not in front of a crowd is just a tragedy, I reckon. You know, I think it's the most significant thing that's ever happened on a racetrack. If you think of it historically and everything else, can you think of anything? Because Michelle Payne's was right there, but this is different altogether.
Most definitely in that part of the world, in the UK. And I spoke to Lee Mottershead.
It's the most famous horse race in the world.
Is it in the world? It
is.
It is
the most famous horse race in the world.
I suppose there's been plenty of movies made about it. But this couldn't have come at a better time for the sport, because the sport was on its knees.
Mm.
Following, you know, the controversy around those photos earlier in the year. There was, unfortunately, one fatality in this race, which had been the first fatality, I think, in about 5 years since they made all those changes to the jumps over there. So 40 horses, 30 fences, 6.4 kilometres. And she became the first female jockey to win the National.
And not only that, she's not a flash in the pan. Like, she's been building towards this for a number of years. Her Cheltenham Festival was huge. Like, she won the champion hurdle on Honeysuckle, who's 11 from 11, and barring its debut run, she's been on its back, so she's got a champion to ride along as well with winning all these other big races. And she was second in the Gold Cup there. She's been on that upward trajectory for a while and an elite rider in her own right. This takes her to another level altogether.
She's a champion Irish jumps jockey, and she's female. That's why, I mean, I know I go on about it probably too much about the story of females in racing, but every time I decide to shut up about it, one of them does something extraordinary like this, you know. So,
well, women couldn't ride in the race until 1975.
Yeah.
I think it was 78 the first.
The same day Jamie Carr won the Doncaster? That's just an amazing story.
Quite remarkable. We're going to try and get Rachel on. I'm not sure how much luck we'll have, but we've put calls into the manager over there, so hopefully we might be able to pre-record an interview with her in the next couple of days.
Because that'd be amazing.
She'd be fascinating to have a chat to over there as well. Let's talk about Caulfield, because I know it was in the shade on Saturday, but gee, the performance of Liquero, geez, a promising stayer, and I think the runner-up Sharky's a promising horse as well.
Yeah, look, they are. I think we see a stayer or a horse like Liquero, and your question's immediately asked, oh, is he a spring horse? Is he a cups horse? They don't have to be. They're 3 years old. They're going to take some time. They're maturing at different rates. Through Irish Eyes is in the same category, I would suggest. Straight out of a maiden, runs really well on the weekend. They can stay. Now, to what level and to what quality and where's their ceiling is at, we'll find out. But I think it's really positive that there's, as we spoke about before, a good progression of races for these horses to come through on a metropolitan level and to sort out, you know, those maiden winners, where they sit on the country circuit, where these horses sit. Liquero and Through Irish Eyes were clearly, you know, a fair margin ahead of the rest of that pack there. Ruba around the mark, he's okay, but I don't think he's really going to elevate much beyond an off-season horse. The first two home might not, but at least they're given the opportunity through this series, and they can throw forward now into a South Australian Derby and show their wares there, and they might be second or third tier spring horses this year. They might not be spring horses at all, but at least they're on the road to developing into something like that.
Well, there's nothing to say that the first two home in the Galilee series final aren't better than the first two home in the AJC Derby. There's nothing to say that.
That's one of them
beat the other one only two starts back. So just because the AJC Derby's the Derby doesn't mean it's necessarily super strong. And I was having a chat to Cindy Alderson about the Kiro yesterday, and she said he doesn't seem like much. He's not much to look at, but he runs these relentless gallops that 58, 58, 58 were the sectionals through the whatever splits they were. And she said it's hard for those horses to get beaten in these when they get their rhythm, because nothing, they just sap you every furlong.
Things didn't go to plan. There's no way in the world John McNeill wanted to lead on Saturday. And I thought it showed Jai's, once again, his brilliance and expertise in staying races, because he did have to sum up the situation, go forward.
You did.
On a day where you didn't want to be leading with that strong headwind. But he just rode the horse beautifully.
Yeah, he did. It was a great ride. And look, he's a great rider of stayers. We know that.
Little Ruber ran all right too. The stablemate of the winner, trying to loop him. But it is all pointing to a pretty good South Australian Derby. If we can just entice that Western Australian Derby to come halfway to Morfordville.
Well, the South Australian Derby produced Russian Camelot last year, right?
Delasan was in it too.
If you look at Persan, who we're all saying is the best local stayer, you know, at the moment, look at where he was this time last year. You know, he was winning three-year-old handicaps in June, knocking around Caulfield and Flemington. Now, did anyone identify that horse then and say, well, he's going to run a stonking race in a Melbourne Cup? Probably not. So the potential is there for these horses to really elevate, but I don't think that should be the benchmark for success of these sort of races.
I back the trainer in more than the horse with these things. When I think of Liquero and Explosive Jack, I think, would I back Cindy Alderson and Kieran Maher to take a horse through on a cup journey? Yes,
yeah.
I would.
Yeah.
Historically, they've proven they can do it. The fact that they're embarking on it, if they do, tells me they think the horse is worth it, because they've had a lot of horses before that they've tried to do similar with. So if Cindy Alderson and Dave Eustace and Kieran Maher think their horses are cup worthy, then that's pretty encouraging for me.
Yeah. Chucky, is there any other horse out of Caulfield on Saturday you want to follow? Anafisto, Mozzie. I was on Mozzie again. I'm 0-2 in this little head-to-head battle between Anafisto and Mozzie.
I've watched the replay a couple of times. She wasn't in the best spot, Mozzie Monster.
I don't know if John McNeill could have done anything else after she dwelt at the start.
No, he probably couldn't. But you knew, and this is not saying, well, John McNeill's to blame. She got into a really awkward spot. And when you needed to be out and making a run, because the pace did drop out of that race mid-race, he couldn't. He was pocketed. I'd happily back Mozzie Monster again. She'll win soon. You know, I'd set against Anavisto again. I'd probably back Mozzie Monster again. I think she was very unlucky in that race. Cordilla was a good win.
Yep.
Dropping back to 1100. She was there and got the job done. Missile Mantra's in for a good prep. I wonder where they go with her.
What happened to Dollar for Dollar? Was there anything?
Well, I looked at the stewards report. He just stopped. I thought he might have bled. It wasn't in the stewards report. Stable didn't. They expected him to win the race. The market expected him to win the race. He ran well below form. That's almost his worst run in a couple of seasons, Dollar for Dollar. So something was clearly amiss. No doubt it'll come out in the wash in the next week or so after they run bloods and whatever else. Maybe he's had a virus. But good horses don't run poorly like that without a reason, without a genuine excuse.
Looking forward to tomorrow. We're going to be live out at Caulfield in the build-up to the big Owners and Breeders Money Day on Saturday, the showdown and plenty of other cash on offer at Caulfield on Saturday. And, of course, we've got day two of the championships. Got warm weather coming this week. It'll be interesting. The Queen Elizabeth, which we wouldn't have thought at the start of the Autumn Carnival, could be run on a good track.
We almost want it run on a wet track.
Yeah.
Because that's when we're going to see the best of Adib and Very Elegant and Sir Dragonette, aren't we?
We spoke to, I had a chat off air this morning to Annabelle Neesham. She's 50-50 about Mwoonga backing up. She said, look, if it was 2 weeks, he'd definitely back up. We'll just give him another day to see how he came through the race. She's putting a pen through the Doncaster. He was just so far out of the picture. He never really got into the hunt. The stablemate is the one, though. Zaki was unbelievable in the Doncaster, and she said, I'd love to back him up into Queen Elizabeth because he is a firm track horse, but it's probably not the done thing. It may be hard to back up after having your first run for so long. So the Doomben Cup is the race she's earmarked, but she said, I'm not ruling it out. I'll just let the dust settle.
If you think of the horses in Australia who might be the biggest sleepers, and in 12 months' time when we look back, how closely are we going to look at that? Is it Raki? Is that what it's called?
Zaki.
Its run in the Doncaster was massive. It showed a turn of foot. Who's to say that it's not one of the three or four most exciting prospects in Australia right now?
What was its form in the UK, Shark?
Average. If he is one of the most exciting prospects, it's not great for our racing, because this horse was getting beaten up in fair Group 3 races, up.
But I've seen high-profile ones. Lloyd Williams has had some of those great who haven't measured up, and I've seen Lloyd and others with... Atalak was a lead pony before it came out here virtually. So, you know.
Zaki had 53.5 in that race. Fresh, first run here. Look, he's a nice horse, but I think he's probably a handicapper. He probably finds his mark in a handicap. Do we... Look, wait for age, that horse, I'm not sure.
I just think he's going to be interesting to watch.
Yeah. I need to see it. I keep looking at Zaki.
I think you're probably right.
The Zaki I know from Europe and thinking, come on, this is not a wait for age horse here. But
he's a good one to watch anyway, just to see if he can go in leaps and bounds.
All right. We are 5 days out. Barrier draws, weather conditions haven't been locked in, but... Here and now, who are you with in the Queen Elizabeth Sharky?
No, I'm with nobody.
Come on,
I'm not until I know what the weather's doing.
Have
because it's all going to be sunny and everything. And
well,
then
they're all racing on the same surface.
And then there's an arc, there's a downpour on Friday. You don't know what the weather's going
to
do.
If it's a heavy eight, Adib's a 6-4 chance. If it's a good three, he's a 10-1 chance.
I thought your comments were interesting about Sir Dragon.
Adib, if it's a firm track.
Well, he won a Group 1 on a good 4 borderline good 3 the other day.
Very elegant, won a Turnbull on a very firm track and a Caulfield Cup. So she's just as good on top of the... I would have thought she's far more capable on top of the ground as Sir Dragonette.
But isn't the bottom line, Adib is a 6-length better horse on a wet track. I think that's what I'm trying to say.
Well, Very Elegant doesn't lose any ground on a wet track.
No, but he does.
Yeah.
Okay. So on a firm track.
So you're putting a pen through Adib if it's a good track?
Pretty much. Okay. You know, I know it's not quite that simple, but that's kind of what I'm half saying.
And Sharky, SMS here. Hey, Sharky, Sir Dragonette only a wet tracker now? That's from one of the listeners.
Well, Sir Dragonette's body of work today suggests that he is at his best on a wet track. So that's a fact.
Is there a wild card dry track?
How many Group 1s has he won?
Two.
How many on a good track?
Well, he's won one. And so, they've both been in Australia.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what... You're allowed to have opinions on horses. We don't have to all toe the same line.
I want you to have an opinion. Tell me who's going to win the Queen Elizabeth.
Do you know what Sir Dragonette beat?
Haven't we got a few days to think about it, Michael?
Sir Dragonette beat She's Ideal in the Tancred. She's Ideal has been getting beaten in Mare's Group 3 races.
She'll win the Sydney
Cup. Am I the only one on planet Earth?
She's Ideal to win the Sydney
Cup. Oh, my God.
I've got a first ever here.
Kieran Maher's had a sizable wager with Bray Sikorski, part owner of Very Elegant, and also one of the part owners of Sir Dragonette, that Sir Dragonette will beat home Very Elegant. Are you saying Kieran's done his dosh?
If he gets a wet track, Sir Dragon A can win. If it's a dry track, I think Very Elegant, et al.
You're just trying to flesh out these last 3 minutes or so. I've got a good one for you. Who is this Matt Stewart impersonator in there this morning? The only thing giving him away is the bloke is too positive.
Wow.
Let's just have a minute's silence to absorb that.
Because
we could do with it, because we're obviously prying a pad. Let's have a minute's silence.
I think this is the most anticipated race of the autumn. So,
but the weather will decide.
Okay, all right. You don't want to get involved.
What's the point? What is the point?
Speaking of jockeys, how did we rate Bivouac on Saturday? Did replacing G-Boss make any difference, James, from Caulfield?
He raced up to his form. That was his problem.
He's been... Retired. They were going to head over to Rolaska.
I think he's had enough. I think Bivouac's got his mind on other things, as can often happen.
Amaralina, another text message here saying, is she coming over for the Oaks? Because they were washed out.
Is she?
They were washed out over in New Zealand on Saturday.
She's the one. Is she coming over or is she not coming over? It seems she is if the ground's right. Maybe she's not. Maybe she is.
Hang on. I've got something to flesh this out.
Hey, my producer's going to pick out the tweet or text message of the week, of the show. So, Maddie, while you say what you're saying, I'll try and get to.
So,
he's texted to me, right.
How difficult is it going to be to unearth the next Jamie Carr? or Jess Eaton in Australia. Mick Kent's going to pen a column for us about the structure of the jockey intake and apprentices and claims and just how difficult it is to furnish young talent, and particularly and including female talent. A lot of them end up not going the journey because of the system we have with the filtering system with apprentices and so on. So his reads are always worth a squiz, and he's going to pen something for us. I'm dobbing you in here, Mick, by the way. You are penning a piece for us in the next hour or so.
We spoke to Robbie Dolan on Saturday morning. Of course, he came through the British, the Irish, I should say, training academy over there. And I'll pull out that clip because on Wednesday I want to do a bit more on this. We might try and get Mick into the studio and maybe a couple of others to discuss what we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks, the lack of, I suppose, recruitment of track work riders, but also the training. And what Robbie Dolan had to say, he said it is a no-brainer. Yep. We need this in Australia. We need it in Victoria.
Yeah. So a lot of those ideas, Matt Hyland's got views, Matty Kamani, everyone you spoke to at the English sales had a little take on this, and the overwhelming theme was academy, basically, wasn't it? So hopefully that will happen this week. And I reckon if you get a pack of a carton of Winfield Blue and put it here, that might be enough incentive to get Mick in from Cranbourne.
Is he a gasper?
Oh, loves a bugger.
A Darren Gasper. Yeah. All right, boys, we have run out of time. Now, Ben has chosen the best SMS of the morning here, and it is by Adam. Adam needs to contact us again and give us your surname. Manicato used to pick grass off our nature strip at Mentone back in the 80s. I've been on nature strip ever since his early wins at the night meetings at the Valley. The issue with the markets and punters, they rate him way too short. I'm a former bookmaker. He's got talent, but he's a sitting duck scenario. He's a chance at every race he runs in, but he's definitely not as good as Manicato. That's from Adam. So, Benny Day's chosen you to take home the two bottles of Mitchelton champagne.
Well, that's probably the end point of this is one of those good discussions that will go on is he actually a champion, Nature Strip? Bruce McAvaney said, I think he's now a champion on Channel 7's. I'm a little bit short of that, I think, a total champion, but I think current, a lot of listeners will be thinking about that.
He's very elegant a champion.
Yeah, I was going to say, of the current group of good horses, I'd have her in champions.
She's a great horse, but I don't know if she's a... I don't know.
Yeah,
champions to me are very, very high. Very, very high.
She's pretty good.
Yeah, she's nearly... She might,
she might be a champion after Saturday.
Yeah, well, there you go. That might be it.
Couldn't get a tip out of you boys. You're just happy to sit on the fence. There are plenty more tips coming up, though, after the 10 o'clock news.